And Rolene, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure on a Friday morning to cause a little bit of, or maybe a lot of mayhem in the studio over
that's,
there.
That's what we're all about. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, and you've been a crazy week, I tell you.
For you as well?
For me as well. I mean, last night, Shame, I was actually quite privileged to be at Beit Protea in Herzliya. It's what we call a Beit Avot, or a parents' home. And they celebrated 25 years with an exhibition of the Golden and Medina. I know that it had toured Cape Town, it went to Johannesburg, and it has now come to Israel. And it's just lovely to see the contribution that Jews have made to South Africa, and that it is now touring outside of South Africa. Very cool. And kol hakavod to Beit Protea for the incredible, incredible care they provide for our elderly. And it's just, if you're ever in Israel, it's a stunning, stunning, stunning place.
Tell us a little bit more. What's that all about?
Well, Beit Protea is primarily a retirement home or care for the elderly home, predominantly for South Africans, hence being called Beit Protea. And last night, well, this whole week, they've been celebrating 25 years, and they culminated a rather special week with the start of the exhibition of the Golden and Medina.
That sounds amazing. What's the Golden and Medina?
The Golden and Medina, I think, was the way that people referred to South Africa, you know, with the striking of gold. South Africa brought with it so much opportunity, and many Jews left Europe, sadly not for seeking their fortune with gold, but many to escape the pogroms of Eastern Europe and came to South Africa. And the story of South African Jewry is actually quite incredible, from starting a shul in somebody's home to the tremendous, tremendous contribution that in 175 years Jews have made to South Africa, from the fight against apartheid to currently building the country, making its mark, to, you know, really, really high achieving sons and daughters like Helen Sussman, who would have turned 100 this week. It's very, very special. For those of us who grew up through the youth movement, I'm sure some of you have. It's about Machane. For those of us who made Aliyah, our Aliyah is shown, our contribution not just to South Africa but to Israel as well. So it's really, really heartwarming. It's the good times and the bad, and the things that are uniquely South African. You know, like little things, like South Africans are the only people who say Kitka. We say Kala, but we also say Kitka, and it's a fascinating story. And it's all there in photographic evidence for you to see. It came from the South African Jewish Museum, and I'm sure when it comes back to South Africa, a lot of you will go see it if you haven't seen it already.
That sounds beautiful indeed. Rolene, tell us about some of the other happenings there. I see Boy George has been in the news.
Boy George has been in the news. I tell you, Israel seems to be the place for visiting celebrities this year. Boy George and his band Culture Club kicked off their global tour this week from Tel Aviv. And he says that you kind of got to love him. Well, first of all, I loved the jumpsuit that he was wearing. He was wearing a black jumpsuit with neon glow Magen David all over it.
Oh, wow.
And he took to the stage and he said that BDS and all these detractors and all the anti-Israel people are just a negative energy. And he actually engaged in a little bit of a Twitter war. He completely rejected comparisons between South Africa and Israel. And somebody with the Twitter handle Graham Booth, if that's any of you out there, Graham Booth, said to him, "So George, are you saying you would have played South Africa during apartheid?" He says, "I could have, and I didn't. Could have earned well from such a gig. Israel is in my heart." And here is the drum roll, please, sound effects. Can I have some sound effects?
Craig's busy looking for that. It'll take a while.
He says, completely different equations. And he says, "I play for my fans, not politicians. I've never looked at any political figure and said, yes, you speak for me." So he says, it's the flow of positive energy. And as we know, Israelis are full of life and full of positive energy. And somebody who calls themselves magenta purple said to him that magenta, whoever he or she is disappointed that you have played Israel. I wish you could get involved with the BDS boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. So he's, Boy George replied, he said, I'm disappointed by your tweet and also by the fact that you are actually doing zero to help anyone or anything. Your energy is negative. Yes, people, yes. That's how you do it. He also told the detractors exactly where to get off. But seeing that this is family radio, I'm not going to repeat it.
Yes, you can't mention that particular bus stop on the radio.
I can't mention that particular bus stop, all the ducks, all the quacking. But basically, he told people exactly where they can get off.
Well, yeah, we'll keep that for off the air later. So, Boy George, good on you. And does anybody really want to hurt him? In your second article, Morrissey.
Well, Morrissey, some of you, and I don't think you guys are old enough, I'm about to give my age away here, grew up with the Smiths and Morrissey. And God bless Morrissey. He's not known exactly for his incredible vocal range. But
neither am I. I'll just put that out there.
But he is quite an incredible orator and wordsmith, and he loves Israel. He's come here numerous times. Apparently, he even has Israel tattooed on his arm. He's taken to the stage here wearing a gigantic Israeli flag, and he has dedicated or written two new songs all about Israel on his new album, and one is called Israel. And basically he says, in other climes they bitch and whine just because you are not like them, Israel, Israel. And he says, and they who rain abuse upon you, they are jealous of you as well. So basically anybody who hates Israel is jelly. Not only that, but he also wrote another song on the album called The Girl from Tel Aviv Who Wouldn't Kneel. And it's based on a theatrical production of the same name, which is about the story of Etty Hillesum, who was murdered in Auschwitz in 1943. They found her diaries and have made a stage production, and he actually has written a song about it. So not only has Morrissey dedicated two songs to us, but he also is kind of like almost a de facto ambassador or representative of the city of Tel Aviv. He was given a key to the city of Tel Aviv, and he says he is a small face of Tel Aviv, and he is very, very happy to represent the big orange with integrity and with loyalty.
What else is, or what is Morrissey more sort of popularly known for? What are some of his most sort of famous works?
Every Day Is Like Sunday, Meet His Murder, Morrissey, the Smiths and Morrissey. Some of them are with his former band, the Smiths, and some of them are solo. But I think, you know, given that Tel Aviv has probably more vegans per capita than any other city, Meet His Murder is the national anthem of Tel Aviv.
Right. We won't go there because we'll spark a debate that we don't really want to have on the radio. So speaking of some other Smiths, Will Smith apparently snuck into Israel.
Well, nobody knew he was in the country. He didn't mention he was coming to the country. And bang, a picture of him at the Kotel yesterday, at the Wailing Wall, just appeared in his black outfit. I don't know what the significance was that of him wearing black. Oh, the man in black. So basically, I've only had one cup of coffee today, people. So
I'll send you some.
It was Will Smith has made an appearance in Israel, and I'm sure we'll find out in the next couple of days why he is in our beautiful country. Definitely not for the drivers.
One of my favorite actors of all times, Will Smith. But I mean, can't a guy just have a holiday?
That's a good question. I don't think he's here with his family.
Okay. Well,
so unless he's having a holiday from his family, you know, we don't judge.
Well, maybe he's actually doing some research. You know, he is the genie in the new Aladdin that is set to be. So maybe he's doing some research into the Middle Eastern culture because, you know, he's playing a genie in the Middle East.
Is he really playing the genie?
He's being cast to play the genie in Aladdin, yes.
So there's some
people here I'd like to put back in a bottle.
There's some we can give you to put in that bottle to go along with them. One of them has four wives, but I'm not mentioning any names. Israel is the world's highest.
Sorry, sneezed there for a second.
Gesundheit. Tell us about this article about Israel having the world's highest percentage of teen EMTs. Firstly, what do you mean by EMTs? And tell us about what you mean there.
Emergency medical technicians. Well, this is actually quite interesting that Israel has about 11,000 teenagers who volunteer or do voluntary shifts on Magen David Adom ambulances throughout the country. And apparently they make up nearly 60% of the volunteer staff. So it's really like something. I mean, I didn't know that teenagers could volunteer to be EMTs. I mean, it shows you how much I know all of the time. And Eli Yaffe, who is the deputy director for training and culture in Magen David Adom, I mean, I don't understand what the culture bit is, but maybe somebody from Magen David Adom can enlighten me. But he says that Israel has the biggest youth corps by percentage in the world, and that the 50-year-old National Emergency Response Network has accepted or has always accepted teenage volunteers, but has started a formal program for 15 to 18-year-olds as an option for fulfilling the education ministry's mandatory 60 hours of volunteering. And this is for high school students, which I think is actually something quite special in Israel. I don't know if you have it in South Africa. I think it would be of great benefit to teenagers in South Africa to do mandatory volunteer work somewhere.
We do have, as part of the life orientation syllabus, where you have to have a certain number of hours in order to pass life orientation, which is the only compulsory subject. Just a quick question. You were talking about culture and the EMTs and that. Does that have anything to do with Pearson by any chance?
Does it have anything to do with
Pearson education? I don't know if you heard the story. We were reporting on it a couple of weeks ago about their nursing staff. The nursing book, Pearson Education, published a nursing book that described different religions and different cultures and how they feel pain, and said that Jews, what is it, black people believe pain is?
Pain is but they tolerate worse. Yes. They have a high
tolerance for pain, and it was quite controversial. So I was just wondering, maybe that's where culture comes into.
What Jews complain.
Jews always complain, and Arabs believe that pain is a good thing because it comes from Allah. It was quite a hectic thing. So I was wondering, maybe that's where culture comes into EMTs.
I'm not even going to comment, because if you show a needle to me, I'll run screaming and assume the fetal position somewhere where you can't find me.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much for joining us. That was Rolene Marks on the Israel Report. It's just gone 8 o'clock, and it's time for your news.